Yeah. Coming from the streets, you know what to expect from the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So most of the times, you're good until you get caught.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, bebop up and down the road all day, speeding or whatever,
yeah.
shuffling drugs or whatever, and I'm good until I get caught.
Yeah.
And when I get caught, now it's time to, yeah. I got to show, man.
Yeah.
You know what we would say? Yeah. I ain't no punk, man.
Yeah.
But boy, once we lock them in them bracelets and put them inside that car, that's my opportunity to preach to these guys.
Hey,
man.
I do the same thing, bro.
Yeah. Chip on my shoulder. Yeah. I got something to prove. Like a gun in a holster. Yeah. Loaded, ready to shoot. Got big energy. Yeah. Ain't scared to dream. Got big energy. Got big energy. You know this a different energy, right?
Welcome to the Miller Experience, where we have up close and personal conversations with people that I admire as big fixtures in the game and guys that's doing major things in the community. And my guest is definitely one of those guys. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest is a U.S. Navy vet, 3 years with the Allendale Sheriff Department and 6 years with the South Carolina Highway Patrol. April 16th was a horrific morning for my guest as he conducted a routine traffic stop that changed his life and his family life.
Hey. Andre, trooper down, crazy. I've been shot. US-78 just outside of Denmark. US-78 just outside of Denmark.
244-10-4, Orangeburg 1033.
Orange 227, I copy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome a true hero, my brother, my friend, Lance Corporal Patrice Frazier.
Welcome to the Miller Experience. Today is a very, very special episode, man. I got my law enforcement brother. My brother, period. Lance Corporal Patrice Frazier. What's up, Frazier?
What's going on?
How you doing, baby?
Scalable, man. It's great to be here, man. Great opportunity to
be here. Yeah, man. So we know some things happen. We're going to discuss that later on, but I want to start from the beginning, okay? So you're from Allendale, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Where in 1985, you graduated from Allendale Fairfax High School.
Yes, sir. Fighting Tigers.
How was it growing up in a small town, man?
Well, I tell you, it's a small rural community, man. We're down on the southernmost tip of South Carolina, southeasternmost tip. I think we're borderline with Scriven County, Georgia. It's a hunting community, man. Everybody comes from Florida and other areas. They lease property there to come to hunt.
Wow. Okay.
Very, very little industry there, man. But Allendale is a place where we grew up, man, working in the textile factories, so. Either farms or textile factories made up Allendale County when I was growing up.
So after high school, you went straight into the U.S. Navy, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what you did, an interior communication electrician there?
Yes, sir.
All right. What went into the decision of going into the service, and what the heck is an interior communication electrician, man? That sounds very fancy, man.
And that's about it. So going into the Navy, man, when you're living in a small community such as Allendale, you had to make a decision. Either I'm going to be somebody or I'm going to be left behind.
Yeah.
And my decision was to, go to the Navy to kind of figure out what I wanted to be. Because there are, vast opportunities of, you could be anybody in the Navy from a diver to,
And you know what? I didn't want to cut you off real quick. I'm going to let you get back to your point. But you made a good statement on that. You went to the Navy to figure out what you want to do. And I tell a lot of young kids that everybody want to go to college, right, when they get out of high school, right? But even in them 4 years you in college, you still trying to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. So I tell my kids this. If you don't want to go to school, you're still trying to figure out what you want to do. Use your military as a hustle. Do those 4 years. Figure out what you're going to do. Why are you doing those 4 years in the military? You're going to travel the world.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be able to do things you want to do.
Absolutely.
Then once you get out in 4 years, you already decided what you want to do. If you want to go to school, that's cool. Or you might pick up a trade in the military. If you want to go to school, guess what? The military is going to pay for it.
It's paid
for,
absolutely.
So I'm like, you made a good point there. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
go
ahead. That's wonderful, man. Mm-hmm. That was, while I was there, it kind of curbed my desire on what I want to be because, again, the Navy offered any and everything it takes to run a country. So if you're out there in the middle of the Indian Ocean 6 months out there on the water, look, every trade that you can imagine is out there.
Yeah.
Because we got to stay afloat, stay alive. So
making the choice of becoming an interior communicator. So I went into the Navy, what we call as undesignated, meaning we can bring him in and let him decide what he wanted to do. So what we did was we were considered a deckhand. And that was in the boatswain mate's rate. A deckhand was boat operators, painting the ship to wherever we were needed. Yeah. That's what we done. We just went in and undesignated. Yeah. Therefore, we can decide now that I'm in here, what do you really want to do?
Yeah.
So we had a choice in the engineering department. I know I always want to be a part of the engineering department, which makes up the engine room, boiler room, anything that makes the ship go, operate. So the communication side, I was the cable man. I was a man that provided the TVs, the telephones, the gyroscope, which is, you know, the mapping system on the ship.
Yeah.
So we were in control of the gyroscope. That was our biggest thing. If we ever got off course, if the gyroscope ever shut down, we're done. Yeah. We don't know where we are. We don't know how to, you know, how to reach. I mean, you had communication, but you're lost.
Yeah.
Because we don't have no north, south, east, or west. We don't have no direction. So the gyroscope is one of the main components of the interior communication electrician field. Electrical, but anything that deals with communication, even with what he's doing here today, that would have been a part of the interior communication electrician's field. Okay. And but that was pretty much shipboard.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have no experience once we got off the ship, but it was just shipboard. But we made sure when we hit port, we hook up the telephones, we hook up, you know, the power, all of that stuff we took care of.
Okay.
So I know it's, and I, to this day, why is it called interior communications?
Yeah, that sounds very technical, man.
Listen.
Very detailed.
That's what got my attention, too. You know,
so,
man,
so you pretty much wanted the challenge, right?
Yeah, when I go back home, I want to make my community feel like, hey, man, this dude, yeah, he's really doing something big, you know?
So, hey, I feel you on that, man.
But along the way, you know, you realize, man, this is just, just part of the, you know, everyday business on a ship, you know, man.
So you also did, so in 89, you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Navy, correct?
Correct.
And in July 2000, you were honorably discharged in the U.S. Navy Reserve with a, what's a CB baton, CHB4, so, I'm saying that correct?
Yeah, so so when I got out of active duty, you know, you lateraled over to the reserves. Mm-hmm. Now, in the reserves, I cross-rated from interior communications to equipment operator.
Yeah.
So that was the CB battalion.
Okay.
Those guys were pretty much, we'd done everything on the ground. We build, we fight. It was mostly construction.
Yeah.
That's what it, CB was, construction battalion. But I was a truck driver with the CHB4, which was out of.
So you got your CDL too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, man,
why you ain't out there making no money, man?
Man, I do a little trucking, man, when I'm not working
on
patrol.
Okay.
I'm hauling gas with a company called APC.
But
the thing about it, man, you'll have that love and that desire for a particular thing, and that's what brought me to where I'm at, where I am today with the law enforcement, man. I've driven a truck. Matter of fact, I've owned 3 trucks. But man, let me tell you something. I had a choice of of my family, my house, and that truck. That truck was costing about as much as my house, so you'll have some bad days with that truck. So I got all of that training through the U.S. Navy, and that brought me to about where I'm at now.
This episode is sponsored by MK Rentals, where we got you covered. Get all your rental needs. You can contact Kevin or Marsha Evans at 803-410-4812 or 803-543-8879. They're located at 1490 Greeleyville Highway, Manning, South Carolina. Again, 1490 Greeleyville Highway, Manning, South Carolina. MW Graphics, where we specialize in clean and professional designs for your business, organization, or personal needs. You can contact the owner of MX Graphics, Mark Winley, on Facebook at Mark Winley. MX Graphics. If you're interested in being a sponsor, contact myself, Ernest Miller, at 803-565-9752. That's 803-565-9752. Or you can hit me up on my email at eaenestmiller83@gmail.com. Again, that's eaenestmiller83@gmail.com. You can also make contact with my producer, Victor Wesley of Vic West Production. His telephone number is 803-225-0021. That's 803-225-0021. Also, his email address is vicwestp@gmail.com. That's vicwestp@gmail.com.
So you sound like a big service guy, sort of like me.
Yeah.
So I know you're big into the church, correct?
Yes, sir.
You're the member of your Pentecostal Church of God in Allendale, where you serve as an elder and assistant to the pastor.
Yes, sir.
All right. How is that?
Listen.
First of all, you being in law enforcement, and you still got, we all got God on our side, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you're big in the church. Now, come on, me and you out there in the streets, man.
Yes,
I know it is.
Yeah.
I know how it is, man. Sometimes you can't keep that God on you, bro.
That's correct. That's correct.
They run that mouth.
Yeah.
They ain't getting too much in detail. But sometimes you might have to talk a little slick back.
Correct.
How do you keep that composure while on the road, man?
I tell you what, man, when you're grounded, you know what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So coming from the streets, you know what to expect from
facts.
The streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So most of the times, you're good until you get caught.
Yeah.
So I can, bebop up and down the road all day, speeding or whatever,
yeah.
Shuffling drugs or whatever, and I'm good until I get caught.
Yeah.
And when I get caught, now it's time to. Yeah. I got to show, man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I ain't no punk, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But boy, once we lock them in them bracelets and put them inside that car, that's my opportunity to preach to these guys.
Hey, man. I do the same thing, bro.
Yeah,
I do the same thing.
That's the opportunity to preach to them. Yep. That God side come out because we know what we're facing. Mm-hmm. But we were taught, man. I mean. Words don't matter.
Yeah.
We had to be the best of the best when somebody's throwing, foul language at you.
Yeah.
So, it's tempting to want to throw it back.
Yeah.
But then, who's the victor? Who's the victor now? I mean, what I want
to
do.
You're better than that. You're more professional. You're more trained. Yeah. So you're more better than that. You shouldn't have to stoop to their level.
You hit
stoop to their level, man.
That's where it's at. And mixing the two is one thing. The greatest advantage of that is. Prayer, man, praying for us in the uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, it's like we're the bad guys now.
Yeah.
What
you're saying.
Yeah, we're the bad guys, man. We go through all of this training to be servants to our communities, to the state of South Carolina, but we become the bad guys because we're doing a job.
Yeah.
Man, but if you look at this world now, this world is turning. To everybody that's trying to do something positive is becoming the bad guys.
Yeah.
When I first got out of the Navy, you roaming the communities, parties every Friday night. Man, I hated the police. Mm-hmm. I hated the silver and blue, man. I'm telling you. It's all because they kept us, grounded.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get out here and spend donuts in the street.
Yeah.
They kept us grounded. So, man, I hated the police at the time because a couple of my buddies got caught for DUI, and I started having, man, negative feelings and ill feelings for them.
I ain't hate the police, man. I'm going to tell you straight up what my issue was. If I got in trouble with the police, what the hell my mama and grandma going to do to me?
So that's who I was scared of, man.
If I got in trouble, I had an incident in college one time. And the only thing going through my head, man, I got to call my mama and grandma, boy. Man, I'm a
toughest phone call.
Yeah, man. I ain't care about, what I'm saying? But see, kids don't have that nowadays, what I'm saying?
Great. That. So I'm sure we'll get to that too.
because
that's we don't have that now.
Yeah.
I mean, calling mom is nothing. They want to call mommy from the car.
Yeah.
Nah, man, you got to put that phone down. But call my mom. But you were so tough there earlier. Yeah, call my mom.
I'd be begging you not to call my mom, man. I'd be scared.
Yeah, man, that's, we came up. That's the way I came up, man.
So in 2015, right, you decided to work for Allendale Sheriff's Office as a deputy patrol officer.
Yes.
So, we already said you're a server in the church, in your community.
Yes.
What led you to want to do that?
So, if I roll the tape back.
Especially you driving trucks, man.
Yeah, prior to 2015, man, I had that desire. So, after completing my term in the Navy and coming back home and settling here, I had Texas and I had Atlanta that I wanted to move to. But for some reason, something brought me back home. I did miss Mama and Dad, but... I came home, but when I came back to the community, man, I could see our community going south. Mm-hmm. You come home and we lived in a subdivision where you could roam the streets and you knew everybody. I mean, we waved down south, what I mean? But you knew everybody in the subdivision, every house, you knew who lived there. But once I got back from the Navy, man, I realized that our community people were either dying out or moving out. And we always call it our neighborhood. And I like to share when we talk about a hood, and I say this all the time, a hood is always there to cover or protect something. You wear your hood on your head, you got your car hood, your neighborhood, anything that, you know, hood was, you know, connected to was a protective atmosphere. So one thing, what would happen to my community or my neighborhood, all the neighbors moved out and left us just the hood. So what I mean there is, we had strangers moving in from everywhere. You know what I mean? There was a vacant house. They were looking for a place to rent, so they started moving in, man. The children didn't have no respect for the elderly. They came in trashing the neighbor, you know, the neighborhood, what was once a neighborhood. And they just pretty much you know, killed the value of our community, man. And but our polices at the time they had become
stagnant.
They were stagnant, excellent. Yeah. And right there is what drew me to, that was lifted my desire, man, or gave me the desire to pursue law enforcement. But it was there before I even actually applied. Yeah. So I said, somebody's got to do something. So I got to a point where I felt like, why are we looking to him to do it? Why can't? Yeah. And that's what got me to wanting to be.
You wanted to be the change,
man. Born to be
just
the change.
Just like with my different situation, but you just wanted to be the change,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And so in 2015, I was working at a tire plant called Bridgestone, and man, I got tired of the night shifts and fighting tire machines. And
so you want to work night shift fighting crime?
Man, I thought look, I didn't expect it to be that same rotation, but I ended up getting on the same rotation. But the difference is. Becoming a deputy with Allendale County, we worked a shift, a day shift from 11 to 6 to 11 at night. It was the weirdest shift.
Yeah.
But being a small community, we didn't take very many calls, man. We would catch more burglar alarm calls, false alarms than anything. So we would go on at 6 and we'd be by the phone. And then we'll come out, work the school zones from 8 till about 3, or, you know. And then after that, we'll just sit and wait for calls. So it was a pretty laid-back shift. I enjoyed it. I'll be, you know, but we'll have wrecks.
Yeah.
And every time, you know, we call 1050s,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But we'll have collisions. And normally our collisions lead to having to call the highway patrol.
Yeah.
So, man, I tell you, bro, and I don't want to get ahead of
No, you good, man. Go ahead. No, you good.
But I always desire to be a trooper, man.
Okay.
To be continued. Make sure you check out the next episode. And also, you make sure you to like, subscribe, and comment on my YouTube channel, The Mill Experience. And now we also on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. Make sure you download. Peace. You can't tell me how to act. Said I can't be successful by sticking messages and rap. But God's with me. Who told you being intelligent is whack? So place your bets. My faith is fresh. I'm gonna make it stretch. Cause I sat there eye to eye with the face of death. And you ain't putting work in unless you break a sweat. Bring it back a 4